Over these Tuesdays, as you're aware, what we've been doing is looking at what the Bible has to say in terms of the reasons why Christmas happened, the reason why Jesus came into this world. And we're looking in particular at the reasons that Jesus himself gave for that. There are a number of occasions where he makes it clear that he came for this reason or for that reason. And in the passage that we're going to look at today, you'll see that it ends up with Jesus saying that the reason why he came was to seek and to save the lost. And that's good news for us because most of us are lost and understand what it is to be lost. That can be sometimes because you're in a strange place. When I first came to Aberdeen, I thought it'd be kind of easy to find my way around because it, you got one river there in the north, one river there in the south, you've got the sea on the other side. It shouldn't be too complicated to find your way around that place. It's kind of like it's three sides of the square are already in place. But hey, I rapidly got lost. You could plonk me down, the bus took me to somewhere, I haven't a clue where it was, and I got off because I thought it was where I was meant to be, and I hadn't a scooby as to where I was. Scary feeling, especially in a place like Aberdeen. You do not know where you are. You've got nothing to get your bearings by. There's no kind of big landmark that enables you to see, well, at least there's the Edinburgh Castle or there's the post office tower or something. I couldn't even see Pittodrie Stadium. So there was nothing to get my bearings by, and I was hopelessly lost. And maybe I have a propensity for that, because when I was in Cumbernauld a long time ago, I was minister there, and about 3 years into being minister there, I got lost in Cumbernauld. And you think that's kind of crazy to do that, but if you think that, you haven't been to Cumbernauld. And if you're thinking, maybe I should go to Cumbernauld, I'm telling you, don't, because you'll get lost as well. And you get lost because so much of it is exactly the same, and you go to one bit, and you think, well, that's where I am, and then you find that actually it's the same as another bit. And so I went to one part to visit people, and I thought I knew from there how to get to the next place, and I was just totally lost because it all looked the same to me. Scary feeling. We do that in life as well, where we kind of lose the plot a little bit in life and grapple with a question as to what it is all about. You know, where are we going? What's the purpose of life? Why are we here? Big questions like that. And we can kind of lose the plot and not really figure out what it's all about at all. Sometimes we kind of lose our way a little bit in life. We know very clearly where we want to go. We want to get to heaven, but we're not entirely sure how to get there. You know, the story that's told about the tourist in Ireland who wanted to get to Dublin, but wasn't quite sure where in the middle of Ireland they were at this particular juncture. So they asked one of the locals, how do I get to Dublin from here? To which the local said, well, if I wanted to get to Dublin, I wouldn't start from here. And that's sometimes our problem, that we know where we want to get to, but we're in the wrong place to start with. We're not where we're meant to be. And therefore, we don't really know how to get from where we are to where we mean to be. And this really is the story of a man who was like that. So as we read it, don't just think of it as being the story about someone who lived a long time ago, and it's kind of interesting to hear what happened to this guy a long time ago. Read yourself into that and recognize that there's a real sense in which you and I also are that individual. We're kind of lost because we are looking for meaning in our lives. We're looking to find something to get our bearings by. We're looking to find our way because we really would like to know God. We'd really like to have a life that is going to go on forever and a life that is good and fulfilling. We really want that sort of life, a life that's more than just a few short years here on earth. But how do we get there? We're lost and we need someone to find us and to put us on the right path. And Jesus, as he rounds off this narrative here, we find he says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to read the passage and then think our way through it just a little bit. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jericho's a city way down by the River Jordan, the River Jordan that kind of runs to the east side of the land of Israel. It's way down in a valley. It's way down below sea level, you know, about 1,000 feet below sea level. So it gets baking hot there. It's not really the sort of place you want to live if you get a choice, because it is so desperately hot down there in that valley, 1,000 feet below sea level. But people lived there. Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So this is a narrative that helpfully illustrates for us what salvation looks like. Jesus says, today, this very episode here, salvation, God's salvation, God's saving power has come to this house. So if you want to see what it looks like in an individual's life, you want to see and get a feel for what it feels like and is experienced by an individual as, then this is what it looks like, this is what it feels like, this is what it is to be someone who is lost and is becoming found, someone who is sought out by God and is saved by him. Zacchaeus was a lost man. I don't suppose he would have acknowledged that necessarily, because of just who he was. He was a chief tax collector. He had quite a prominent position, quite a prominent job, quite a good income, albeit it wasn't all legal, but it was. He managed to acquire quite a lot of wealth. And he perhaps didn't think of himself as being lost, but deep down inside himself, there are certainly indicators that he was aware that although he maybe had a lot of things going for him, the big and the important things in life, he somehow was missing out on. And that perhaps is why he wanted to see Jesus. Perhaps there was a sense that maybe this guy, about whom he, as others, had heard quite a bit, maybe he was able to meet him in his need. Maybe he was able to be the answer to the longing in his heart. Because although he clearly had a lot of money, we're told, it's pretty clear as well that he didn't have a lot of friends, and he had in place a lot of hostility, a lot of animosity, because of the sense that so many people had there that by being a tax collector for the hated Roman Empire, he was somehow betraying his people, betraying his friends, and failing really to be the sort of person that they looked to him to be. So he lived with a lot of tension. He lived with a lot of isolation. He lived with a lot of animosity. He lived with a lot of those things that that really cloud and darken our experience. He didn't have the important things in life. He didn't have meaning. He didn't have purpose. He didn't have love. He didn't have life really as he would have wished to have it, for all that he had a lot of money. The guy was a man who had kind of lost the plot, lost the way, and perhaps sometimes lost his cool as well. This is the story of how Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. And it's important for us to be able to recognize that that same Jesus comes to seek us and comes to save us as well. And so I want you to see how that happens as we read our way through the narrative. How does Jesus come to seek the lost? Well, the first thing that we read here is that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. In other words, he comes to the place where this corrupt, self-centered, self-seeking man by the name of Zacchaeus is. He comes to Jericho. He doesn't brazenly sit around in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem or in Nazareth and simply demand that everyone comes to him. He comes to us. And that's what Christmas is about in the first place. He enters our Jericho. Our Jericho happens to be this world. Our Jericho happens to be Aberdeen. He comes to our world. And he comes because he is passing through. He's not hanging around here forever and a day. He is on his way, and he is on his way back to a glory, back to a kingdom, back to a realm that is altogether good, and he wants to bring us there with him. So he is entering our world with a view to taking us with him, and that's part of his seeking. He has come to us. So that's kind of bedded in history for us, that this Jesus means business with you because he has come to your world. He has come into our world. That's the first thing. Second thing about his seeking the lost is that he notices Zacchaeus. Not only does he come to the town where Zacchaeus lives, but he notices this man. This man who has had to climb up a tree and presumably is kind of sitting on or hanging on for dear life onto a branch of the tree in order to get a better view because he's too small to be able to see over the crowds, large crowds gathering there in Jericho, because this guy Jesus does extraordinary things and people know that. They're aware of the way that he has healed the blind, the way that he has helped the lame to walk, and he has healed the sick and so on. They know that remarkable things happen in and through this man. And so he's one of the crowd, and he can't see over the crowd. So clever guy that he is, he figures out a way to get around that. He'd have made a good engineer as well as a tax collector, because he finds solutions. So he goes up a tree, gets a better view, and up there above the line of sight and hidden presumably by the foliage of the tree, Jesus nonetheless notices him. And that's important for you and me to be aware of, that he notices you. There is no place on earth that you can hide. No place on earth where you can kind of get a good view of Jesus, but without his seeing you. He is always aware of you. He notices you. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your situation may be, doesn't matter what your background may be, doesn't matter how small and insignificant you may feel yourself to be, it doesn't matter how much you might like to hide yourself away, he notices. And he is intent upon finding you. And that's both challenging and also comforting, that there's just nowhere, no situation that you can be in, but his eye isn't on you. He knows exactly where you're at today. And he knows all the details of your life, absolutely all the details. He knows them because he sees everything about, he notices you. You are not insignificant in the world that he has made. Your life is not insignificant. Your person is not insignificant. Your circumstances are not insignificant to him. He notices. He's aware of you. And that must have been a bit of a shock to Zacchaeus, that hidden away to get a better view of him and just kind of minding his own business, Jesus notices him, looks up, sees him, and then speaks to him. And the astonishing next part of his seeking this guy, Zacchaeus, is that he then names him. He calls him by his name, and he speaks up into the tree and says, "Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus is doubtless sitting there thinking, how does this guy know my name? You know, I've never met him, but he knows me, and he knows me by name. Because I guess most of the people in Jericho, when they talked about this man, they didn't speak about Zacchaeus. They spoke about the tax collector, or as they say in Glasgow, the wee man. They'd have used some terminology like that. They'd use some sort of general term, often none too complimentary. They'd have used some other way of speaking about it that kind of depersonalized him. Jesus uses his own name and addresses him as the individual, as the person, the distinct individual that he is. And that's how he speaks to you as well. He knows not just all the details of your life, but he knows you by name. and speaks to you by name, so that there are occasions where as we listen to the Word of God, as God speaks to us through that, it's kind of like He does know all the details of our lives and is speaking to us directly. I've told you before, some of you, that I had one evening service when I was in Common Old where a lady came storming round to the vestry afterwards and simply blew in like a hurricane into the door, into the vestry, slammed the door behind her and shouted out, "How dare you do that?" And I had a clue what she was on about. Said, "You are going to have to wind this back a frame or two so that I can understand where you're coming from. What on earth are you talking about?" She said, "How dare you do that?" I said, "No, wind it back a few frames. I'm not with you. You'll have to explain." She said, "You have told the congregation every single detail of my life, and you've no right to do that." I said, "I know nothing about your life." At least I didn't before the service. I obviously do now. I said, "I don't know anything about your life. I haven't done any research on your life and on your circumstances." So she said, "So how come you spilled all that out before the congregation?" I said, "Well, the Lord must know a lot about your life. Just be sure of that. He knows you, all the details of your life." And she began to mellow a little bit and began to ask questions about this God who knew her like that. And I said, "Yeah, that's who He is. He knows you by name, and He is seeking you as the individual that you are, so that if those circumstances are all so distinctive of yourself, it's precisely because the Lord is seeking you, and He wants you to understand that it's you in your particular unique set of circumstances that He is speaking to." The Lord knows us like that. He knows you like that today, and He speaks through His Word to you today as well, because He comes to seek you in your particular situation, whatever that may be today. So He comes to seek us, and that's good, because like sheep, we do often go off the beaten track and get lost and wander away and can be entering into all sorts of things that are ultimately going to be ruinous for us. It's pretty good that we have someone who's going to come and seek us out, someone who's prepared to go after us, come to where we are and seek us. That's who He is. And so He speaks to us through His Word. And He saves, He rescues a man who is hopelessly lost, is going nowhere in life, and is liable simply to spiral only downwards in his experience. How does Jesus do that? Well, basically it happens as, first of all, this man Zacchaeus responds to the word that is directed to him, because Jesus speaks a word to him, and it's a word of command. It's a word that says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately, now, today, come down, get off your perch. Get off that perch whereby you think that you can run your own life, that you can manage things yourself, that you can sort it all out, that you can make your way in life. Get down off there. Come right down to me." And that's the summons that very simply all the way through the Bible, God addresses to us. He speaks to each of us by name and says to us, "Come down. Get off your perch. Don't go out on a limb and try and live life on your own without reference to Almighty God. You can't do that. That's just not the way this world is made. It's not the way you're made. It's not the way you work at all. It is going nowhere, getting nowhere doing that. You will be simply out on a limb for the rest of your life doing that. So come down from there. Come down to me." And Zacchaeus hears that word, responds to that word, comes down immediately. And that's where salvation begins to happen in his life, because this Jesus has spoken that word to him that summons him to come down and come to Jesus. And that's it's not complicated. The Bible is not a complicated book. And that is the essence of what God says to each of us. Come down off your perch and come to Jesus. How do you come to Jesus? You simply do what Zacchaeus did. He then opened his heart, opened his home, and said, "Jesus, come in." He heeded that word, and he welcomed Jesus into his home. Because essentially, the other picture that's often used is that of Jesus knocking at the door. You know? We hear the knock, we've got a choice. You open the door, you close the door. you pretend you're not in, or you go and see, and you see him standing there. He says, I'd like to come in. I would like to be part of your life. I would like to come and be a part of all that you are in your home, starting from your home and spreading out to every part of your life. And I mean, what sort of craziness is it on our part that makes us turn that down, that makes us think, oh, I don't want him in my life? I mean, this is the guy who made the world. This is the guy who demonstrates in all that he says, all that he does, that he knows what he's on about, that he does good, he changes things, he transforms things, he helps us, he meets us in our different needs. What on earth sort of craziness is it that means that we kind of close the door and say, I don't want to know you? Zacchaeus says, yeah, I'm lost. I'm glad I have you in my home. I'm not sure where it's going to take me. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. But hey, I'm glad. You want to come to my house, you're welcome. You come and sort me out. And the very fact that he simply opens his home like that to Jesus. That's, again, just a very simple, very graphic picture of what the Lord is looking for in our lives. It's not complicated being saved, being rescued, and exercising that faith. It's just like as God knocks on the door of our lives and says, I'd love to come in. In fact, it's more than that. I'd love to. He says, I need to come in. Not because we meet somehow a need of God, but I need to come into your home, Zacchaeus, if you're ever going to find your way in life. I need to come in if you're going to be put on your feet and know where you're going. I need to come in if you're going to be a changed man and find what you're looking for in life. I need to come in. And Zacchaeus says, Jesus, you are welcome. And please God, that's how each of us, even today, will respond to that God who speaks to us like that personally today and says to you by name, you come down. And I want to come into your home. I want to come into your life. I want to sort out the mess that your life is. I want to sort out all the problems that you have. I want to come in and be the one who is able to sort all that out and to help you. And faith means we simply say, yeah, you are welcome, Lord. Please come in and teach me and help me and strengthen me and guide me and lead me and protect me. And that's what Zacchaeus does. That's what happens. And that's, Jesus says, that's why he came, to seek and to save the lost. And there's not a one of us here that's going to put our hand up and say, and I'm a lost person. I need him. And that's what he says. I need to come in. And please God, we too shall respond like that. And you see the way it just changes his life. This man, Zacchaeus, who hitherto has just lived his life in terms of grasping as much money and accumulating as much money as he can and thinks somehow that's going to give him happiness, suddenly he realizes he's got life lived upside down. That actually it's as we learn to give that we find fulfillment and pleasure and joy. As we learn to share, as we learn to enjoy the company of others in the manner that Zacchaeus clearly does now, it's thereby that we discover all that we were made for by God. And Jesus comes to change our relationship with God, to change our experience of life. May that be true for us all. Let's pray.